I'm not a huge fan of naturalistic explanations for religion. Yeah, you've got Moses splitting the sea and all that.
What do you think happened there?
What do I think happened there?
Yeah.
Well, I'll go with the Maimonidean explanation that there was, I mean, it says in the Bible there was a strong east wind. So there's a naturalistic explanation for a physical phenomenon. I'm not a huge fan of naturalistic explanations for religion.
Except evidently when it comes to Judaism's single greatest foundational miracle. But that's not Ben Shapiro's greatest contradiction. It's that he, as an avowed theist, would defer to naturalistic explanations for his faith at all. Where there is a simple and sensible explanation for a thing, we ought to accept it. A miracle is by definition that which has no scientific explanation, an occurrence that defies the laws of nature. The whole point of God's granting his prophets miracles, supernatural abilities, was to support their mission with otherwise inexplicable evidence, to let the people know they were dealing with true prophets, truly sent by the one true God. To disbelieve ordinarily physically impossible acts of God while maintaining belief in him is the ultimate act of fence-sitting. As if to say, I believe in a supernatural creator, I just don't believe he ever demonstrated his supernatural powers for anyone to witness, even though he said otherwise. As for the articles of faith in the unseen that Muslims believe, they are all necessarily miraculous.
So we start with number one, Allah. Allah sent down the angel. The angel had the scriptures. The scripture was sent to the prophets. The prophets were warned about Judgment Day. And everything that happens up to Judgment Day is the divine decree of Allah.
The first of these articles of faith is to believe in Allah. We believe in him, but how to conceive him? Let us contemplate but two of his vast creations, which are associated spatially with his divine majesty. The most merciful, Allah, rose over the throne. His footstool extends over the heavens and the earth. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave some perspective as to the relative scale of these heavenly fixtures, saying, "The footstool in relation to the throne is like an iron ring cast into a vast desert on earth." So if the similitude of the kursi, the footstool, is like an iron ring extending over the heavens and the earth, how almost impossibly huge is a similitudinal desert that dwarfs it? No science we know of can even begin to conceive of any intelligently created object so vast. No scientific test can ever be employed upon either the Kursi or the Arsh to even begin to calculate their galactic scale, as they exist in a realm unseen and entirely beyond the reach of man. The second article of Iman is to believe in the last day, the Day of Judgment. Till when they reach the hellfire, their hearing and their eyes and their skins will testify against them as to that which they used to do. Here, the Quran tells us that on the day of resurrection, the bodily appendages and skins of the wrongdoers will testify against them.
وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَ شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا قَالُوا أَنطَقَنَا اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنطَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ خَلَقَكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ
They will say to their skins, "Why do you testify against us?" There their skins will answer, "Allah has caused us to speak. He causes all things to speak. And he created you the first time, and to him you are made to return." Where are the skin's vocal cords? Where is its consciousness? Where is its memory? Where is its communicative rational faculty? This is not something we can ever rationalize. It is a miracle, beyond scientific reasoning, reserved for the day of resurrection. The third article of Iman is belief in the angels. Amongst them are Jibrail or Jibril, the bearer of revelation, Ridwan, the keeper of paradise, Mikael, the keeper of hell, Israfil, the blower of the trumpet announcing the day of resurrection, Harut and Marut, Two angels sent as a trial for mankind during the reign of the Prophet Suleiman, alayhi as-salam. Malik al-Maut, the angel of death, who takes the souls of men. Munkar and Nakir, two angels who will question those in their graves. Beings created from light, dwelling in the heavens, numbering in the many tens of thousands. They are diligently obedient, honorable, organized. They do not eat or drink, neither tire nor bore, are modest, superfast, infallible, immortal. God's emissaries to his prophets, messengers to the messengers, recording the deeds of man and woman. Allah the Most High revealed regarding those who will bear his throne on the day of resurrection.
وَالْمَلَكُ عَلَىٰ أَرْجَائِهَا وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٌ.
And eight angels will be on its sides that day, bearing the throne of your Lord above them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I have been permitted to relate to you something about one of the angels that bears the throne of Allah. Verily the distance between his earlobe and his shoulder is that of 700 years. Imagine a living being so galactically gargantuan, almost impossibly enormous, that it takes 700 years to travel between its shoulder and its earlobe. The distance between our own earlobes and shoulders is perhaps 700ths of a second. Where are 700ths of a second compared to 700 years? Yet we have iman, we have faith, that such creatures as these exist in a world beyond our vision and our vista. The fourth article of iman is belief in his books, the revealed scriptures. Allah says as regards the final and conclusive revealed scripture,
لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ.
Had we sent down this Qur'an on a mountain, you would surely have seen it humbling itself and rending asunder out of fear of Allah. Such are the parables which we put forward to mankind that they may reflect. How many newtons of force is that as to what would cause a mountain to crumble? Yet even then, this mountain crumbles not due to physical weightiness, but out of an overwhelming sense of awe before God. Is there any scientific measure for such a thing? There's surely not. This is far above and beyond science, well outside the empirical measurements of men.
It's a copy of the Quran, 14th century.
Are you Muslim?
I don't have to be Muslim to find the images beautiful or its poetry moving.
The fifth article of iman is to believe in the messengers. And it will suffice us to mention the last two messengers to have walked upon the earth. We will start with Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus the son of Mary, alayhim as-salam, upon them both be Allah's perfect peace. Picking up from the story of Maryam in Surah Maryam, where she returns to her people bearing a newborn in her arms.
فَأَتَتْ بِهِ قَوْمَهَا تَحْمِلُهُ قَالُوا يَا مَرْيَمُ لَقَدْ جِئْتِ شَيْئًا فَرِيًّا يَا أُخْتَ هَارُونَ مَا كَانَ أَبُوكِ امْرَأَ سَوْءٍ وَمَا كَانَتْ أُمُّكِ بَغِيًّا.
Then she brought him to her people, carrying him. They said, O Mary, indeed you have brought forth a shocking, unheard of thing. O sister of Harun, your father was not a man given to adultery, nor was your mother a harlot. Look to the reaction of Maryam alayha salam's people. Not only shock and horror, but also dejection and disappointment, that she must have secretly eloped and fornicated with some man somewhere, in spite of her better judgment and upbringing. Because how else can a girl who was known to be a chaste virgin appear with child?
فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ.
Then she pointed to him, the baby Jesus, indicating to her people that there was a good explanation as to how she had become a mother, and that that explanation would be given to them by the baby itself.
قَالُوا كَيْفَ نُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَهْدِ صَبِيًّا.
They said, how can we talk to one who is a child in the cradle? Because even then, some 2,000 and some years ago, people understood that an infant but a few hours or a few days old at best had not the developed physiology by which it could speak, and even if, by some genetic freak of a mutation, it had a fully formed voice box, a developed larynx and pharynx, it still needed the psychology in addition to the physiology in order for it to intelligently, intelligibly, and purposefully compose coherent words and phrases. But then, the infant messenger of God did indeed miraculously speak, and in doing so, he at once absolved his mother of any hint of impropriety. He rather affirmed her chastity, her having conceived of child by immaculate conception, as a virgin, pure of heart and body.
قال إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا وبرا بوالدتي ولم يجعلني جبارا شقيا والسلام علي يوم ولدت ويوم أموت ويوم أبعث حيا.
He, Isa, said, "Verily, I am a slave of Allah. He has given me the scripture and made me a prophet, and he has made me blessed wheresoever I be, and he's enjoined upon me prayer and zakat as long as I live, and to be dutiful to my mother, and made me not arrogant nor unblessed. And peace be upon me the day I was born, the day I die, and the day I shall be raised alive." How can science possibly account for all this? It cannot. And it is because a virgin birth cannot be rationalized that in popular culture it is deemed acceptable, if not sensible, to allege that the righteous Maryam alayha salam was, let us not mince our words, a loose woman, a'udhu billah, and her righteous son was therefore a bastard child, astaghfirullah.
So they came up with the prophecy, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You understand this? It was a virgin that caught people's attention. It's not every day a virgin conceives and bears a son.
Each time we seek a naturalistic explanation for what we're supposed to believe in as a supernatural occurrence, we run the risk of committing blasphemy. Moreover, the anxious pursuit of naturalistic explanations for divine miracles suggests an inherent doubt in Allah's ability to create whatever He wills, however He wills. He, who is able to do all things, said regarding the miraculous birth of Jesus,
إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ.
When he decrees a thing, he only says to it, "Be," and it is. Moreover, to slander Maryam alayha salam may be in keeping with the science of godless men, but only if divorced from reason, because sound reason would never, could never, and should never dare slander the mother of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salam, the both of whom were righteous.
ما المسيح ابن مريم إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل وأمه صديقة.
The Messiah, son of Mary, was no more than a messenger. Many were the messengers that passed away before him, and his mother was truthful, a believer. Which brings us to the last and final messenger of Allah, and the only one who was sent to the whole of humanity, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We will recount but one single episode from his illustrious biography to demonstrate the necessity of having faith in the unseen in a way which cannot be compromised by confining its details to the empirical limits of we mere mortals.
سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا.
Glorified be He who took a slave for a journey by night from the sacred mosque to the farthest mosque, the neighborhood whereof we have blessed, in order that we might show him of our signs. This verse tells us of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's night journey from the sacred mosque, which is the sanctuary in Makkah, to the furthest mosque, which is the sanctuary in Jerusalem. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this journey mounted on Burraq, an equine beast hitherto unheard of in human taxonomy, and which was gifted with the unnatural ability to seemingly bend the space-time continuum. Between the transport of its noble passenger horizontally from Makkah to Jerusalem and back within a single night, it ascended vertically up through the seven heavens, the distances of which have been given to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, "Between the heavens and the earth and that which comes after it is a distance of 500 years, and between every successive heaven is 500 years, and between the seventh heaven and the footstool is 500 years, and between the footstool and the water is 500 years, and the throne is above the water, and Allah is above the throne, and nothing from your deeds is hidden from Him." The deprivation of oxygen, the collapse of atmospheric pressure, the sub-zero temperature, any one of these variables would kill a man were he to even commence ascending the outer limits of such a literally astronomical distance. Presumably, the hypersonic G-forces alone would tear the flesh off of his very bones. But Allah is the one who arranges the affairs of the universe. He is the force behind, above and beyond all other forces. For He is their creator, their sustainer, and their maintainer. He is Lord of all the worlds, able to do all things. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And there is no power or movement except by Him.
مَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَآ أَفَتُمَارُونَهُ عَلَى مَا يَرَى.
The Prophet's heart lied not in seeing what he saw. Will you then dispute with him about what he saw? Truly, man does dispute and deride the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims who attest to his truthfulness about what he saw.
My passion is for scientific truth. I don't much care about what's good and evil, actually. I care about what's true. Do you actually believe in your Muslim faith? Do you believe that Muhammad split the moon in two? Do you believe that Muhammad flew to heaven on a winged horse, for example? I pay you the compliment of assuming that you don't.
No, I do. I believe in miracles.
You believe that?
Yes.
You believe that Muhammad went to heaven on a winged horse?
Yes, I believe in God. I believe in miracles. I believe in revelation. I mean, the point here is that let's assume I'm wrong, Richard. I'm wrong.
Let's
assume I'm wrong. I'm wrong.
Here, Richard Dawkins, the godfather and the unofficial leader of the New Atheist movement, scornfully dismissing and wafting away the idea that Muhammad performed miracles, including his night journey and ascension to the heavens. His cynical reaction is just like that of the disbelieving Quraysh at the time, when they taunted the Prophet's closest friend, Abu Bakr. "Do you know that your companion alleges that he made a night journey to the sacred house in Jerusalem?" Abu Bakr asked, "أو قال ذلك؟ Did he say that? Did Muhammad actually claim that?" قالوا نعم. They said, "Yeah, he did." Abu Bakr said, "لَإِنْ كَانَ قَالَ ذَلِكَ لَقَدْ صَدَقَ." If he said that, if the Prophet actually said what you allege him to have said, then he spoke the truth. The disbelievers were incredulous. "Oh, you believe he went in the night to the sacred house and returned before the morn?" Abu Bakr said, "Yes, I believe him. I hold him to be truthful in what is even further away, even more fantastical than that. I believe and hold true that he receives news from the heavens in the morning and evening." And for that reason, because Abu Bakr declared truthful the claim of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr was himself named with the title As-Siddiq, the truthful one. And it would be remiss of us not to acknowledge the keeping it realness of our brother Mehdi Hassan, and to thank him for standing true to the Islamic creed, at least in this specific instance, in his attesting to the truthfulness of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq before him when confronted with the very same disbelief, and in his affirming his own belief in the divine and the miracles that Allah grants his prophets, especially in the face of such militant atheism. He really did take one on the chin here on behalf of all of us. And the amazing thing is, Mehdi does not represent the orthodox Sunni school of Islam. Ironically, precisely because he does not recognize Abu Bakr as-Siddiq as being the best of people after the Prophet Muhammad, and the most deserving and legitimate temporal leader of the believers after Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Perhaps that is because Mehdi is unaware that when our Prophet fell seriously ill, close to his death, he refused that anyone besides Abu Bakr lead the Muslim community in prayer, calling out twice or thrice, "Fa'ayna Abu Bakr? Where is Abu Bakr? Ya'ba Allahu al-Muslimuna thalik." Not Allah nor the Muslims allow that, meaning that any man before Abu Bakr should lead them. Finally, a little friendly fire from the formidable polemicist, the late Christopher Hitchens. Alongside his friend Richard Dawkins, Hitchens was one of the poster boys of militant atheism. The title of his seminal work, God is Not Great, is of course a negative of the phrase Allahu Akbar, the Islamic takbir which translates to God is great in English. You'll note that the book carries an endorsement from Dawkins. A bit premature, methinks, considering what Hitchens says here.
If I was a believer, I would not feel God owed me an explanation. I'm not one of those atheists who thinks you can go around saying, complaining. I mean, if you make the assumption that there is a deity, then all things are possible. You just have to be able to make that assumption.
Hold the phone.
If I was a believer, I would not feel God owed me an explanation. I'm not one of those atheists who thinks you can go around saying, complaining. I mean, if you make the assumption that there is a deity, then all things are possible. You just have to be able to make that assumption.
In one fell swoop, Hitchens unwittingly exposes the unreasonableness of Dawkins' objection to a theist's belief in miracles. Hitchens' point, that if you believe in God, then all bets are essentially off, is obvious to every true believer. And he is able to do all things. He does whatever he wills. Of course, the irony is that Hitchens' own polemic against Islam and monotheism in general is too undermined by his above statement. But putting that aside for now, all that remains is to examine that belief. To prove that monotheism is not a mere assumption, good sir, certainly not the perfect tawheed with which Muslims believe in Allah, but it is the truth, evidence with manifest proof, as we will now, by Allah's permission, explore.